If you had Lindsey Graham and Donald Trump getting along, you lost. It's the Last Call podcast with Chris Michaels. Senator Lindsey Grahamnesty decided to come out and say that he doesn't necessarily disagree with the idea that the federal government should get in the way of the states when it comes to abortion. He said, I think we should draw a line. We know that the Dobbs decision did not say that there's no federal role. There are three laws on the books at the federal level. And what he's getting at here is that he is trying, Lindsey Grahamnesty, to push his bill to outlaw abortion across the United States after 15 weeks of pregnancy. That doesn't sound like a big deal, does it? Well, it's literally not what it is supposed to be about, Mr. Grahamnesty. Abortion is supposed to be a states' rights issue, and the federal government shouldn't get involved. And Donald Trump is not having any of it. He said Senator Lindsey Graham should spend more time focusing on all of the many people being killed because of our non-existent border and the millions of people dying in senseless, never-ending wars that he constantly favors and promotes, and should spend less time on talking about our great Roe versus Wade. They are destroying our country, and they don't want to talk about inflation, a bad economy, horrible open border, rigged elections, Afghanistan, Ukraine, Russia, attack on Israel, all of which should have never have happened and wouldn't have happened if I were president. Great job, Lindsey. Oh, man. So this is the Donald Trump that we all remember from back in 2016, 17, and 18. This is the kind of sparring we want. Lindsey Graham is, for all intents and purposes, a Democrat. There were plenty of rumors about Lindsey Graham being completely compromised. He and Senator John McCain, when he was alive, that's why Arizona looks the way it does. It's basically a purple state at this point. And the elections thereof seemed extremely compromised, to say the least. Lindsey Graham is a Democrat running as a Republican. That's what he is. There's no other way to put it. If this guy makes it for another election, God help us, because we don't want him. The compromising issues that the rumors were all about involved Lindsey Graham being, well, living, how about this? He was living, and probably still does, a very bohemian lifestyle, which would fit more in tune with what the Democrat lifestyle is. So that brings us to the next story, which is probably one of the most important stories to come out. It was released by Sound Investigations. You can go over on X and find them. And basically, we have a contracting officer of the Central Intelligence Agency, otherwise known as the CIA, Gavin O'Blenis. And he decides to spill the beans just as to how the CIA influences domestic policy, domestic issues. Now, the CIA is really supposed to only be gathering intelligence when it comes to foreign adversaries. But here we are, we've got an undercover video that basically says, wouldn't you know it, they're going after people in America, either directly or indirectly through various other agencies. So what does that mean? The CIA is coordinating with the FBI, coordinating with Capitol Police, and they are orchestrating things, right? So essentially what we find out in this undercover video is that they, being the CIA and many others, went after Alex Jones. And they went after Alex Jones. He did not break any law, so they couldn't throw him in prison. But what they did do was go after his finances. They decided to tell people, or at least lay it on the table. You know, they didn't say, oh, you should do this. They said, you could do something like this. Basically, get Alex Jones involved in all of these civil suit cases where he won't go to prison because he can't. He didn't break any law. But they will drain his finances and essentially break him. And that's what's admitted in this undercover video. What does this say to us? It says that, one, the CIA goes after American citizens on American soil. It also says the CIA is coordinating all these hit jobs. Mr. O'Blenis also admits that he, well, not necessarily he personally, but he knows people that were involved in the January 6th rabble rally. And he said that there were at least 20 federal agents in that crowd just to listen, just to see what happens. And they needed ears and eyes over there to make sure it didn't get out of hand. But if this was really going to be controlled, they needed at least 1,000 people in the rabble rally on January 6th. Now, he also references tactics like nudging, quote unquote. So what does nudging do? Well, nudging, basically, you put some kind of inflammatory response on social media. You release some kind of video that goes after a person like Alex Jones or Donald Trump, and you just watch people go apoplectic. He also admits that they monitor everybody that follows, comments, likes, retweets, reposts, a comment or a post that someone like an Alex Jones would put out there. So if you touch anybody associated with somebody on the government hit list, you are now associated with them and you are part of that list indirectly, which means that you could be monitored as well. Does this sound like a glittering jewel of democracy, a diamond in the rough in the seas of political anarchy? No, it sounds like a fascist state. Sounds like you have intelligence agencies and other agencies of the government creating discord and also engineering the discord, running it, and also finally reaping the rewards. In this case, knocking out Alex Jones, a political enemy. Do you understand all of this now? This also explains why Donald Trump is being wrapped up in all of these civil suits. In all of these cases, he didn't break the law. That's the implication here. So the only way to go after Donald Trump is to drain his finances. And how do you do that? $93 million here, a $450 million bond there. None of the insurers are allowed to work with Donald Trump, even though they said we'd like to work with Donald Trump. That's not good enough. Donald Trump has to come up with the money on his own from his own coffers. That's what's going on here. So the implication also is that you have federal agencies running these court cases against Donald Trump, right? That's why we also see people like Letitia James, people like Nathan Wade, people like, who's the other one? Who's the other pig in New York? Alvin Bragg. You see those visitor logs to the White House, right? Why are they going there? Well, they're probably getting some kind of lawsuit tactics going on there. Orders, if you will, from the federal government, whether that's the CIA, the FBI, if not the Biden administration executive branch itself. Once again, that's fascism. That's not anything to do with democracy. It also says that we are witnessing everything that these government agencies are doing and throwing out there in the ways of rallies, any sort of high-profile cases, it's all orchestrated. So everything is fake. Everything is rigged. That's what we're getting at here. That's how bad it is. And Jack Smith, he's the one that's going after presidential immunity. You know, the same thing that Joseph Biden is guilty of and actually guilty of, because Joseph Biden took classified and top secret documents when he was vice president and senator. Both those times, it was illegal. And the FBI decided to let him off the hook by saying, well, he's just a well-meaning old man with a poor memory. Not when he took those documents as senator and vice president. He was a lot more lucid back then. Donald Trump even threw out there that the only way he'd debate Joseph Biden was if Joseph Biden submitted a drug test beforehand because he suspects that they load him up on cocaine before he makes public appearances. Donald Trump is probably right on that account. Jack Smith going after Donald Trump. Why? For the documents issue. Now, we all know the utter hypocrisy that's going on here, but they are now alleging that Trump attempted to overturn the 2020 election result on January 6th, and also charging him with four counts of conspiracy and obstruction. As the president of the United States, let me get this clear. If you, the CEO of the business of the United States of America, it is your job. If you think the election was rigged, if you think the election was sabotaged by entities foreign or domestic, then it is your job. And it is also your prerogative to investigate those claims. That is not trying to overturn the election. That is not conspiracy. That is not obstruction. That is doing your effing job to make sure that these elections are sound, fair, and legal. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem is that the person that quote unquote won the election probably didn't win the election. And if Donald Trump was allowed to investigate those claims, then we probably wouldn't be in the situation that we're in right now. There's also Attorney General Barr. Remember that bloated fat toad that Donald Trump put into place? Well, it turns out that there was a video that was leaked last week where he is telling various people in this Zoom call to stand down. Do not look into any kind of election discrepancies. Don't look into fake ballots. Don't look into pre-filled out ballots from a contractor in New York State. Don't look into how those New York State printed ballots ended up in the Pennsylvania voting counts. Don't look into that. You must stand down. What does that say? It says that Attorney General Barr was complicit in probably seditious behavior by not executing his oath of office and investigating real federal crimes. In other words, he's part of the swamp, coordinating with people like Dr. Birx and Vice President Pence to make sure that Donald Trump was kicked out of office, an election due to an election that he probably won, but officially lost. The framers, Mr. Smith continues, never endorsed criminal immunity for a former president, and all presidents following from the founding to the modern era have known that after leaving office, they face potential criminal liability for official acts. When? Name one president. Oh, you had Nixon. Yeah, he resigned, and then they pardoned him. Mr. Smith says Nixon eventually accepted a pardon from his successor, Gerald Ford, and that his acceptance of a pardon implied his and President Ford's recognition that a former president was subject to prosecution. No, that didn't really happen, and nobody felt that way at the end of Nixon's presidency. So please stop the nonsense. This is so beyond stupid and so beyond biased that this guy should be disbarred. That's how bad this is. This should never have happened. And we don't have time to argue about this nonsense case. If you're going to drag Trump in front of the Supreme Court or drag him through all kinds of court cases for this documents nonsense, then where's Joseph Biden? Where's Hunter? They should all be in front of a judge. They should all be getting the same treatment that Donald Trump is getting. That's the real problem here. It's not that Trump is in front of a judge, right? It's not a problem with all of that if you're talking about the masses out there, the majority of people's opinions. They would, if you're doing that to Trump, they want to see it be done to Biden. That is one of the biggest shortcomings that the Democrat strategists have put into place. They are not sacrificing any of their own in this witch hunt. They are just going after Donald Trump. So immediately their integrity is out the window. That's the big problem here. If they truly wanted to save face, they're going to have to shoot themselves in the foot. And they don't have a lot of time to do it because we are now starting to see the rumblings of a third world war. And it's not something I haven't brought up many times before. Jamie Dimon, the other day, head of JP Morgan Chase, CEO, oh my God, one of the best bankers out there. BS. Jamie Dimon also said that Republicans should be donating to somebody like Nikki Haley, who is a Democrat running as a Republican, because Republican voters deserve a true choice other than Donald Trump. Really, what that sounds like to me is that New York City-based Jamie Dimon is really a Democrat and he can't come out and say that he supports Democrats. I would really like to look into how his family and friends donate and what their donations look like over at opensecrets.org, but I don't have the time to do that. So Mr. Dimon is reading the tea leaves. So as we all know, most wars are bankers' wars. So where is he leading us here? He worries about geopolitical events, including the war in the Ukraine, the Israel-Hamas war, as well as U.S. political polarization. And he even says this, now this is some timing, right? That the environment may very well be creating risks that could eclipse anything since World War II. Okay, first, we see Joseph Biden and many other Democrats, when they give official speeches, referencing World War II. They're trying to make you understand that where they're taking us is in the direction of a world war that is not unlike the same conditions that we experienced from 1939 to 1945. So immediately you have to understand the messaging in that. Also, he says the word eclipse on the same day, or at least the same day this story comes out, of the eclipse. Now, what are the odds that he would use that kind of terminology? Oh, what is he saying here? If you're to ask me what he's saying, it's that the eclipse of that of what his references, of what his speech is all about, is also connected to the actual eclipse. And what does that mean? It means that the eclipse of America's global leadership is nigh. In other words, it is going to be a multipolar world. You're going to have Russia, you're going to have China, you're going to have other entities out there, you're going to have the EU, all competing for dominance, or at least competing for their own space outside of the influence of the United States. So the American power is on the eclipse. It is out the door. America is going to have to deal with that. And also, being that he said we are facing risks that we haven't seen since World War II, he's telling you, he's telling investors, he's telling all of his friends, we are on the precipice of another world war. The Kremlin came out and said, maybe somebody should hold these Nazis in the Ukraine accountable. The IAEA, International Atomic Energy Agency, witnessed a mass drone attack against the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant in southeastern Ukraine. Used to be Ukrainian. Russians took it over because they didn't trust the Ukrainians to not blow it up or create dirty bombs from it. And this power plant is the largest in all of Europe. So why would they be going after a power plant that size in that particular area? The Ukrainians, or we should just say NATO, wants to create a massive dirty bomb, use that as an excuse, claim it was Russia that attacked the power plant, claimed that Russia used tactical nukes to give them the precedent to go into the Ukraine under NATO's Article 5. They are trying to expand this war. They are trying to make this a third world war. Now, for the idiots out there that truly believe that this kind of attack has no kind of repercussions, you people are idiots. You're morons. Why? Because if they damage this power plant, where do you think the winds go? All that radiation, all that fallout, it blows across Europe. It doesn't blow across Russia. It blows across Poland, Hungary, Slovakia, all of those places. So then they can actually say, well, you know, we have this massive radiation reading out there. It's got to be Russia using tactical nukes. They've decided to cross a red line and we need to go in there to save Europe, to save the Ukraine. Because mark my words, once Putin gets into the Ukraine, once he takes over the Ukraine, he's not going to stop there. He's going to go to Berlin, Paris, and then London. And before you know it, he's going to be in Washington, D.C. Oh, my God, he's a madman. He's worse than Hitler. And so that's why we can't elect this Hitler, Donald Trump, here in the United States, because Joseph Biden is going to be the only thing that's going to save democracy. It's a vote against fascism in November of 2024. Ugh. I just said everything that the Democrats are going to come out with, and NATO is going to come out with too, if they have their way. But Medvedev is not having any of it. And for what it's worth, the Russians, whether that's Putin or Medvedev, former president of Russia, that came out, they warn the West time and time again, and people don't seem to want to acknowledge this, never mind the report on it. On the Telegram channel, his own Telegram channel, Medvedev said that the true organizers of the Crocus City Hall attack, it's a terrorist attack, if you believe the Western media, this was a couple of weeks ago, something like 140 people died by the hands of four or five individuals that just ran rampant throughout the Crocus City Hall and killed a whole bunch of people, right? They claimed it was ISIS. Right. Oh, so, okay, it's ISIS. When was the last time you heard ISIS actually go after non-Muslims, right? They always go after Muslims. They always go after the enemies of NATO. But if you pay attention to any of the Russian channels, you find out that most of these people, they're just immigrants. They had no money. They were essentially offered $5,000 apiece to go in and commit these atrocities. So to say that this is ISIS, I sincerely doubt it. So Medvedev says the true organizers of the attack are still hiding in the shadow of ISIS, but information published from the phones of hired geeks indicates that these are officials of the Nazi Ukraine. And he is confident that the organizers will answer according to the law in the same way as terrorists answer around the world. According to him, Medvedev, the performers, despite multiple references to their affiliation to ISIS, Viliat Khorasan, I don't know how to say that, are not religious fanatics. And Medvedev called senior officials of NATO countries accomplices and international sponsors of terrorists. Oh, yes, Gladio, too. Look up that little operation. Look up Operation Northwoods for reference, too. He considered that the rhetoric and actions of French President Emmanuel Macron are, most importantly, his sanctions for secret operations with the Bandera regime could well be regarded as complicity in the terrorist attack. So the Bandera regime is the one in the Ukraine. Bandera was a Nazi. Bandera aligned himself with Hitler, raised a whole bunch of Ukrainians, had them serve in Hitler's army, and so on and so forth. And these are the the poor, defenseless Ukrainians, the bulwark of democracy in the East, just fighting back against a Hitlerian-style dictator like President Putin, right? You get the rhetoric here? It's obvious that Macaroni and a number of other Western leaders, Medvedev said, are the responsers of this terrible terrorist attack. There is no forgiveness. There is no hiding behind immunities here. And from now on, they are not just enemies of Russia. Oh, they're raising the stakes. Enough is enough. If you saw terrorist attacks in Russia, like going after refineries, attacking civilians, committing terrorist attacks like you saw over here, then we should be expecting the same kind of response from them in one way or another. And I suspect that's why you see all of these large container ships suddenly lose power, suddenly lose steering, and they end up hitting bridges or coming extremely close, like that one cargo ship that almost drifted underneath the Verrazano Bridge. They're doing it already, and they're making it look like technical glitches. That's going to be it for me. Last Call Podcast with Chris Michaels. I'll be back tomorrow. As always, like me, find me, share me. Continue to be the beautiful, lovable fuzzball that we all know. Regale people with your intelligence. Tell them about me. Shake their hands. Kiss babies. And do what you have to do to get to that weekend. I'll be back, as always, for another two times this week.